Now let's understand the importance of administrative committee. Hospital administrator is going to be the chairman of this committee. Once a week, this committee members meet. The responsibilities are in the form of to help the chief executive officer in smooth running of the whole hospital by taking care of all the services, to provide forum for executives to consult each other on issues for long-term implications on other functional areas. There are departmental heads of various functional areas, surgical department, obstetric and gynec department, medical department, ophthalmologic department, ENT department. So all these people should work smoothly and there should not be any hitches, there should not be any problems. Even the housekeeping department, the engineering services, all these things should be working properly. So that's the work of the administrative committee, to look into it, and wherever there are hitches, wherever there are problems, they are going to sort out. Whatever resources are being given by the top management, it is the duty of the hospital administrative committee to use it optimally so that there are no pilferages, no wastages of any resources to be done. They should help in preparation of the annual report of the hospital so that it can be given to the top management to view. It will help them to add some more services if required, some more facilities if required. It is going to help the top management to develop the new strategy for attracting more number of community patients towards their hospital, to develop new facilities if required, etc. So annual report, then budget, which is going to help them in finding out whether the capital requirement is more, cash budget is proper or not, whether the expenditures are not excessive. So the profit and loss account, the asset and liability of the company, of the hospital, will be taken care of every year by the administrative committee, and they are going to help in formulating long term as well as short term plans by the top management. The hospital administrative people, administrator, and this administrative committee is going to help them in taking care of all these things. Now, medical committee is the most important committee as far as the technology aspect of the hospital is concerned. It is the highest technical body. Medical director is the chairman. Assistant administrator is going to help him. He is the member secretary, and there are others in the form of head of the department of medical department, obstetric gynec department, eye department, ENT department, surgical department, and if it's a super speciality hospital, then all other super specialists head also. Frequency of meetings is usually once a month. The responsibilities are to promote the highest standard of clinical care. So one has to benchmark the clinical care to your hospital given to your patients is almost equivalent to that given in the world over best hospitals. So then comes efficiency. That means optimization of all the resources, optimal use of all the resources. Effectiveness, that means the outcome should be such whereby the patient's delight is occurring, the relative's delight is occurring. You are effective in achieving the goals of the organization or the hospital. At the same time, you should be economical in running the hospital, because ultimately it is not a business that you are running. Usually, hospital is comparatively considered as a noble profession. Of course, in today's world, people are thinking that it's a business, and there are corporates coming up to run this in the form of a business also. But basically, the hospital has been set up with an idea to help the community at large at the minimum cost, at the economical cost, and to treat the patients world over. So your department, medical committee, which is the main committee, which are the main people, doctors are the backbone of the hospitals who are treating the patients. They are using the drugs, so they have to see to it that the drugs that they use are not very expensive, but at the same time they are effective to treat the disease. They are going to prevent the nosocomial infections, whereby the hospital stay of the patient is minimized. So they have to run the hospital by using minimum stationery, by minimizing the cost of everything that they are using. So economy in running the hospital is important. Then growth and development of the hospital should occur by continuously upgrading their knowledge, skills, and adding new facilities, etc., by convincing the management, top management, to do the same. So growth and development of hospital should occur, and to advise the hospital administration on welfare of patients as well as community and their own staff. There are multiple staff working in the hospital, not only the doctors, nurses, paramedical staff, housekeeping staff, engineers and what not. Say PRO, the receptionist, the finance people, there are a lot of staff who are working for a hospital. So one has to take care of all the staff. All the people should be motivated to work best, then only overall the running of the hospital will be smooth, the customer satisfaction and delight will be best. Quality control. Quality assurance is very, very important in today's world because of the competition that is occurring world over. There are a lot of corporate hospitals coming up who are trying to give the best equipments, latest equipments, best of the services. So one has to see to it that whatever services you are providing to your customers, that is your patients and the relatives and the attendants who are coming along with them, all of them should be delighted by your services, by competent doctors, proper nursing care, prompt diagnosis, prompt laboratory reports or X-ray report or CT scan report, etc., and with minimum amount of hospital stay required, by minimum complications, minimum infections, etc., occurring in the hospital when the patient is there. At the same time, their day-to-day requirement in the form of proper hygiene, clean environment, hygienic environment, dust-free environment, etc., should attract the patients to your hospital. So, quality control is very important, where CEO, the hospital director, is the chairman. Quality assurance officer is the secretary, and there are other people from all the department, even the pathologist, microbiologist, the CSSD person, etc., hospital nurses, nursing assistant superintendent, etc., all of these will be there. Frequency of meeting should be once in a fortnight, that's once in 15 days. And the responsibilities are to determine the basic objectives, set priorities, and approve plans for quality assurance activities. As we know, quality, some standards are to be followed, standard operating procedures are to be followed, some protocols are to be followed, whereby the right kind of services are given to the patients at all times, and it is consistent. To receive periodical reports from the quality assurance officer on all the activities, and to advise policies and rules to effect improvements in quality of patient care, as well as all the patients should be safe. They should feel that safety is taken care of. While you are transferring a patient from operation theater to the ward, you have to see to it that his leg is not outside, that leg is not going to be injured by any of the surrounding area, or his IV fluid is not going to be disconnected from his vein. Each and every aspect of the safety. The electrical connections are there, so one has to see to it that there is no spark or there is no electrocution of the patient or the staff. The fire hazards are there because some chemicals are going to be used in your hospital in the form of ether, spirit, etc. So all those things, some gases are going to be used, oxygen, etc. So one has to take care of each and every aspect of your hospital environment to see to it that there are no fire hazards, there are, or if at all there is a chance of fire, you have got all the equipment ready to use at the earliest to prevent any problems. So all these things one has to take care of while taking the care of patients. The quality of the services, the safety of the patients, etc., are equally important. Medical Records Committee. In present world of lot of legal issues coming on the hospitals, medical records officer, who is the secretary of this medical records committee, the superintendent, who is the chairman, and there are other people who are going to take care of medical records. Of course, they can meet in 2 to 3 months, but the responsibility of the medical records committee is that each and every patient's medical record is scrupulously, thoroughly maintained well right from the time the person enters the hospital. His personal details, his identification mark if required, right personal name, spelling, age, his residential address, phone number, etc. Right from that to his clinical history of his symptoms, signs, what are the various lab investigations done, what are the various radiological investigations done, what is the treatment from day to day, whether it is proper or not, and in case the provisional diagnosis, the final diagnosis based on the investigations, what all treatments are given, the progress of the patient right from day one to the patient is discharged, proper records of everything is required. At the same time, proper discharge card is to be maintained, and in case the patient dies, even if postmortem required, then even postmortem report with clinico-pathological correlation, etc., has to be there, so that it is going to help us in research or in future management of the patients also. So medical records is very, very important document for all the patients, and more so in case of medico-legal cases, whereby it is the only document which is going to save the hospital, which is going to save the treating doctor in case the patient's relatives go to the court against the doctor saying that there was medical negligence. Then you can provide the right kind of documents. You can say that any rational doctor of the similar kind is going to give the same treatment, and the doctor is not responsible for any adverse effects that have occurred. Even if the patient died, if you can prove that whatever best can be done for the patient, if the doctor has done, it will save you from all the compensation to be given to the patient's relative in future. Or the patient, if he has been discharged, also he can say that you were negligent. So medical records are very important for medical records as far as the medico-legal cases are concerned. So one has to see to it that all the records are timely completed, clinical pertinence is there, they are adequately mentioned in clear handwriting. It is going to help us in educating the doctors by going the retrospective studies. It is going to help us in research also, and it is going to help us in administering the whole hospital properly, as well as for legal purpose also. To approve the format of the complete medical record, one can have the color coding for various diseases. One can have the forms to be retained and discarded. You should have the retention policy of various medical records. You can keep the OPD records for 5 years, or inpatient records for 10 years, or medical records at least for 10 years or till the case is over. To review plans and policies with regard to staff, space, facilities, in-service training, etc., all these things will help us if we study the medical records. Theater Users Committee, it is the operation theater which is being regularly used by various surgeons. So the composition is head division of all the surgeons. So surgeons, chief surgeon, chairman is the chairman, and operation theater manager, usually OT manager is there, who is the secretary, nursing officer or the OT manager can be the secretary, anesthesiologist, because anesthesia is very important in operation theater, then central sterile supply department manager, and there are others who can be members of this committee. Frequency of meeting should be once in a month, and the responsibilities are to formulate the policies for theater utilization, how many hours of day you are going to utilize the theater. So scheduling of all the operations should be done properly so that there is no wastage of time. You have to prepare the schedule for all elective surgeries, as well as some time should be kept for emergency service surgeries also. You have to advise the general staffing and training program for all the people who are working in the operation theater, because sterility, sterile atmosphere is extremely important in operation theater, as you know that the patient is cut. You are going inside the body of a person when you are operating. So if there are some organisms which are there in the surrounding area, it can directly affect the patient adversely and multiply in the organs. So one has to train all the staff in taking care, due care, to prevent any kind of infection. Laminar airflow should be there, HEPA filters should be used. All those things we'll learn when we are going to learn about the construction planning of the operation theater. So to advise general staffing and training programs, to advise on equipment, what all equipments are to be used, how it is to be used, how it is to be maintained. You have to have the rationalized use of sutures, which kind of suture to be used for what kind of patient, whether for skin, you are taking what kind of linen suture, for intra-abdominal, you are supposed to take the catgut sutures which are going to be absorbable. So what are the dressing materials? And of course, in case of plastic surgery, we have to use the very vinyl, polyvinyl sutures and all, which are very costly, but they are required. So what are the dressing materials to be used? What are the various surgical devices to be used? And to monitor all the critical incidence records, if there is any case of post-operative death due to excessive anesthesia, due to excessive bleeding, intraoperative death, due to some mishap, all these records, critical cases, are to be recorded thoroughly. All the documentation should be done, and even the hospital superintendent should be intimated immediately about such cases. And of course, postmortem will have to be done. Then comes infection control committee. As we know, in hospitals, especially in case of ICUs, in case of operation theaters, etc., infection is very, very important, because if the patient has got acquired any infection while they are staying in the hospital, which is considered to be hospital acquired infection, or the other name for that is nosocomial infection, the stay of the patient will be delayed. He'll have to stay for more number of days. Naturally, his bill will go up. Naturally, his suffering will go up. And even some people may die if a multi-drug resistant infection has occurred, or very high antibiotics are to be used for multiple days, etc. And hence, infection control is very, very important for hospital healthcare management. So, composition, important aspect in that is microbiologist should be the secretary, because it is the bugs, it is the organisms which are creating this infection. So microbiologist should be secretary. Nurse in charge, OT staff, and central sterile supply department, all these people are must in this committee. The frequency of meeting should be once in a month, and in case there are major number of patients suffering from hospital acquired infections, of course you can call the meeting more often. Responsibilities are to reduce the incidence and spread of infections in patients and hospital personnel, not only for patients but also for hospital personnel. The infection should not occur. We have heard, we have seen in the newspapers regarding some of the doctors in municipal general hospitals like KEM, Shivri TB Hospital, have succumbed to the multi-drug resistant infections while working, while treating the patients. So one can understand the hospital personnel are also equally important, and the infection control committee has to see to it that not only the patients but also the hospital personnel should not suffer from such infections. They should develop rational policy for infection control, in the sense every ward outside you should have the disinfectant available, so that when a person enters, he can use the disinfectant on his hands. He can use the mask if required. In while entering ICU, as far as possible, nobody suffering from any disease, especially the respiratory tract infection, cold, cough, etc., should not enter the ICU or the isolation room. So you have to develop rational policy for infection control. They have to educate all the staff to prevent infection. So if the hospital personnel, the nurse or the doctor himself is suffering from any disease, he should not treat the patient at that time, because when he coughs, the vulnerable patient whose immunity level is already low in ICU, he is more likely to get that infection easily. You have to develop the mechanism to trace source of infection. Now, how this infection has occurred? You should develop the mechanism to trace that source and then find out the root cause of it, and then you can prevent it. Investigate properly each and every case who has developed infection. Develop policy of use of antibiotics. You have to develop proper policy to use the right kind of antibiotics. You should not unnecessarily use very high antibiotics. At the same time, you should know the present scenario, what are the most common organisms that are there, and which are the organisms, which are the antibiotics which are going to affect these organisms to be cured. So the sensitivity of the organism to that antibiotics should be known, and preferably empirically you should start those antibiotics, and of course if required, as early as possible you should have the culture of these organisms taken and find out the culture antibiotic sensitivity test and use the right kind of antibiotics for the right number of doses for the right number of days, so that total cure of this organism is occurring, the total cure of this disease infection is occurring, and the organisms do not develop resistance against them. They do not develop multi-drug resistant organisms which suppose spread in future, they are going to adversely affect the many number of patients and they are not going to be cured easily. So you should have the right kind of policy for antibiotic usage. You should have the right isolation facilities whenever needed. Suppose some patients, say HIV patient, he needs isolation to be done because he is immunocompromised patient, he is more likely to develop any kind of infection. Similarly, some of the viral diseases, they need isolation. Say the jaundice patients also need isolation at times. Disinfection procedures should be properly maintained, should be used by all the staff. Handling of biomedical waste is very important. You have to follow all the rules and regulations of biomedical waste management rules, which we are going to learn in future. You have to enforce proper functioning of central sterile supply department, whereby proper sterility, you have taken care of all the markers to see to it that all the material supplied by CSST is properly sterile. Let's understand about purchase and procurement committee or the material management committee. Purchase decisions should be decentralized as far as possible. Why we feel that way? What happens if they are centralized? In hospital, materials are very costly. Drugs, injections, various kinds of equipments, crores of rupees are going towards equipment purchase. So you can understand, if there is a centralized purchase department and only in one person's hand all the authority is given, suppose that person is not honest, what will happen? He'll get a good kickback from the vendors for purchase of each and every equipment, for purchase of various drugs, and you can understand lot of money will be misused, will be wasted by individual interest by these purchasing officer, and the hospital's finances are going to suffer a lot, and hence one should not give all the authority to one person. Hence one should have a decentralized purchase. Composition should be, hospital administrator should be secretary, because he has got knowledge about various aspects of the requirements. Usually hospital administrator is from a medical background, as well as he has got some MBA in hospital administration or management course also he has done. So he has got overall knowledge about all the aspects of management, right from HR to material management to supply chain management to various other things, and what exactly is required for that particular department also he knows. So head purchasing section is the secretary of this committee, medical superintendent is also part of it, and of course engineer who will be maintaining the equipment, etc. Frequency of meeting should be once in a month or 15 days, especially in case of earlier when the hospital is started, you need more frequently the purchases to be done, and hence maybe once in 15 days you can have. Responsibilities to ensure that all the transactions are above board and in the interest of the hospital only, and no personal interest should be there for anybody. So the purchasing officer should not be colluding with any of his relative to purchase any of the equipment or the material, thereby he can have personal interest. To oversee the tender process and to review whether minimum 3 vendors are being tenders are given minimum, and you are going to thoroughly scrutinize each and every tender and the quality of the products and the name of that vendor also through other hospital heads you can find out, or through the market, and you have to maintain total confidentiality of whatever tenders you are going to get so that there is no malhandling of anything. Then comes pharmacy and therapeutic committee, where the purchase decisions again here also should be decentralized, because the drugs, injections, IV fluids, all of them are quite expensive. Composition, medical superintendent should be chairman again in this. Chief pharmacist should be the secretary, because he has got the thorough technical knowledge about this. Nursing supervisor, quality assurance officer, and microbiologist, all of them should be the members, as well as one clinical pharmacist who knows about the drugs, the rules and regulations about the drugs, say Drugs and Cosmetics Acts, the Food and Drug Administration Act, etc., the Environment Protection Act. The frequency of meeting should be once in a month. The responsibilities are they have to serve as evaluative, that means they have to evaluate the process, they have to evaluate the outcome, they have to evaluate the rational use of antibiotics. Secondly, they should be educational, that means they are supposed to educate doctors of rational use of antibiotics, more usage of generics if required, and advisory capacity to medical staff, what to purchase, in how much quantity to purchase, so that there are not much chances of expiry date medicines within a short time and all. At the same time, vital and essential medicines should be there in stock, sufficient stock. Then proper distribution of the drugs and prescription and use of drugs. Without prescription, no drugs should be given, and proper use of drugs should be taken care of. They have to develop proper hospital formulary, what all drugs will be kept in this hospital, so that that formulary can be given to all the doctors who are going to use that, to ensure proper system of prescribing and dispensing narcotics as well as controlled drugs. As we know, as per the Narcotics and Cosmetics Act also, one has to be very careful in scrupulously keeping all the records, proper prescriptions with registration number of the doctor and all, and especially some of the drugs should be prescribed only by the psychiatrist. To develop guidelines for hospital antibiotic policy, you have to properly develop the guideline for hospital antibiotic policy, so that all the doctors should know which all antibiotics we can use, because there are ample number of antibiotics available in the market, you can't use all of them. So only those which are vital antibiotics which are required for most of the department can be kept in the store, and utilized by all, and rational prescription should be there where exactly it is needed. Only those people should be prescribed antibiotics, otherwise there are chances that misuse of antibiotics in the wrong dosage or in the wrong number of, for the wrong number of days, etc., can lead to multi-drug resistant organisms. And at the same time, the drugs should be cost effective also. You can understand today there are wide number of pharmacy companies are available, where trade name drugs are available, and you can see that for the same molecule of the drug, one company is giving you at the 20 rupees per strip and the other company is giving you at the 50 rupees a strip also. So one has to rationally use them and see to it that they are cost effective. Then you have to monitor adverse drug reactions. As we know, many of the consultants have got the habit of writing multiple drugs, and if they don't know exactly how these drugs, when they go in the body of the patient, how they can adversely, if there is a drug interaction between these two drugs, it can adversely affect the patient also. So one has to have the right kind of drugs to be prescribed, and if there are certain drugs which can have adverse effect with each other, say for example, when a person takes Gelucil tablet along with tetracycline capsule, the absorption of tetracycline decreases. So one should know which drug to be given when and which drug should be avoided along with another drug, that also one should know. And if an elderly patient is given certain drugs because of the poor condition of the kidney function, at times you have to reduce the dose of that drug also. So the pharmacist should know all that, and in case there is a mistake by the consultant also, he has to pinpoint that to the consultant and confirm with him that proper drug is given in the right dosage to the patient. So after learning the various committees, of course we are not touched upon the cardiopulmonary resuscitation committee also is one of the committee which is there in many hospitals, whereby how to give the resuscitation to the patient whose heart has stopped functioning and he is not able to breathe on his own and there is no response, whereby the protocol is maintained, the proper procedure step by step has to be taken, what all drugs to be used in that, how the CPR is to be given, how the ventilator is to be used, etc. And the training has to be given to various people who are there. So that committee is going to take the overall how many times CPR was given, what was the protocol used and what was the outcome of that, and then they can suggest the modifications if required. So let's understand now the concept of district hospital. We have seen the concept of primary health center in various villages, and there were 8 elements which we have learnt, and now we are learning about district hospital, which is a secondary line of treatment given in these hospitals, where all the major consultants are available in the form of medical, surgical, obstetric and gynec, ENT, eye, etc., radiology, basic laboratory, etc. is there, but of course super specialist in the form of neurophysician, neurosurgeon, kidney specialist, urologist and cancer specialist, etc. are not going to be there. So as compared to primary health center, secondary health center will be the second line of treatment, a higher step, but of course it is not a teaching hospital, it is not a tertiary care hospital. So a hospital at the secondary referral level, which is defined in where there is a defined geographical area for which the population can come to this district hospital, and it has got a defined population. So the features are the objective to provide curative, preventive and rehabilitative services, and of course promotive health care services mainly in the district where it is being defined. It is linked with public hospitals as well as health centers, where they can refer them for the further line of treatment. The bed strength is usually varying from 75 to 500. And in today's world, because of the telemedicine link with referral hospitals, which are the super speciality hospital or the tertiary hospital and even medical college at times, and with video conference, the quality of these secondary treatment has improved, and limited amount of tertiary care also can be given because of this telecommunication and video conferencing facilities available in some of the district hospitals. Now let us understand the various functions of district hospital. It provides effective, that means whatever is required to be given, it is giving you the goals to be achieved. Your objectives are to treat the patients, to prevent problems, to prevent some of the diseases, promote the health. So it is effective. At the same time, it is affordable to the district people for whom this district hospital has been started. So it is affordable healthcare for the patients remaining in the surrounding locality. At the same time, it is for a defined population, usually from the same district people are going to come. Not like a tertiary care hospital like KEM in Bombay, where even all over Asia the patients are coming, or for Tata Memorial Hospital for cancer, there are people coming from all over Asia. So it is for a defined population, and it is considered to be a secondary level of care where the primary healthcare physician cannot treat a patient. It is beyond the capacity of that, they are going to refer them to the secondary level of district hospital. They have got technical and administrative support. They are educating the people for the primary healthcare. They are training for the primary healthcare people in the form of midwifery, in the form of nursing, in the form of some advanced CMEs can be taken for the doctors who are there in primary healthcare. However, there are some constraints in today's district hospitals in India especially. We are seeing the buildings are very old. There is no maintenance of departments, proper engineering services are not there, fire hazards are there, the housekeeping is not being taken care of properly. It is not keeping pace with upgrading requirement of today's world. There is lack of modern diagnostic and therapeutic equipments in many of these district hospitals, unfortunately, because the politicians are not giving sufficient funds for them to run their hospitals smoothly. There is lack of trained and qualified staff at times for the management of ancillary and support services required for the patients. Thank you.